Everybody say generous. Oh, that wasn't everybody. Let's do it again. Generous. We began a series a few weeks ago on that subject, and we're going to continue that today. So would you grab your Bible? Let me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm excited that you're at a Love and Truth campus today. We believe that God has something special for you right where you're at. You've already had a time of worship, and now we're going together live into the Word of God, and we're glad that you are there on this Memorial Day weekend. Let's do our confession together. If you've got a Bible or maybe whatever you've got the Word of God on, or if not, just say it with us anyway, all right? Even those of you at the campuses. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You believe that today? We believe that the Word of God has life-changing power for our lives. Now, we begin this series, and our passage has been that we've been, the foundation passage has been the book of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. It's actually the roll-in that you've been seeing. But let me read it to you again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse number 9, says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. In other words, as you bless other people, as you're generous to others, God says your righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be, there's that word, generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, I've told most of you who've been here for a few weeks, I was driving through Memphis. This has been several months ago, and that's how this sermon came about. There are a lot of times, I get sermon ideas from all kinds of places, and I was driving through, I don't even remember where I was, and I saw this sign that said generous. And when I saw the sign, it was like the us became electric. Does that make sense? When I looked at it, I thought, you know what? Generosity is about us. It's about our attitude, how we think, how we live in every aspect of life. And the one thing that I want for each and every one of us, especially those of you who are part of a Love and Truth church, I want us to be known as people who are generous, people who live lives of generosity. And so the first week we talked about how that God trusts us with everything, that he gives it to us. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but he has given it unto man. And so God trusts us with that. But not only does God trust us with that, then we have to trust God with everything that has been given to us and that we're stewards of what God has given. Last week I talked to you about which bank. In other words, what bank are you using? People say, well, I use Bancorp South, or I use First Tennessee, or no. I'm not talking about the natural. We talked last week about the earthly system and the heavenly system. And the Bible says that you're to set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. And so we talked about how that all operates in our life. Now, I've been pastoring for a long time. Most of you know this. I started when I was 3. I've been pastoring 35 years. And the sermon that I'm getting ready to preach today is probably the most autobiographical sermon I've ever preached. In fact, I could not have preached this sermon 20 years ago or whatever because I would have been so uncomfortable. And I'll be honest with you, I was uncomfortable in the first service preaching it, but I'm going to preach it anyway because today I'm going to talk to you about why we give. Now, when I say why we give, I'm talking about us as a corporate body. But I'm really going to be talking about why Sherry and I have chosen through the years to give in the kingdom of God. So would you take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy is where we're going to be. And I just want to share it with you because I think that in this passage, the Apostle Paul writing says some statements to those of us who are in leadership within the body of Christ. Here's what he says, beginning in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. We all know that. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying to us, he doesn't say, don't have nice things. He's saying, look, if you got food and clothing, you ought to be happy. That was a good place for amen. I'll give you a second chance in a minute. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, now slow down for a minute, because we have preached that and it has been taught and it has been said. It is maybe the most misquoted scripture in the Bible. How many times have you heard, money is the root of all evil? Heard that? That's not what it says. It says for the love of money. Money is an inanimate object. You can use money to bless or you can use money to buy cocaine. Right? You can use money to send missionaries around the world or you can use money to rent a hotel room and commit adultery. Why are y'all acting so religious today? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Apostle Paul goes on, but you, man of God, leaders, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says to those who are called to leadership within the body of Christ, look, you are an example to those who are around you. And so you've got to live your life as that example. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm the guy who did not want to be a preacher. In fact, here's what I, through the years, people who want to be preachers scare me. Right? Man, I just can't wait to preach. I couldn't wait to make money. What's wrong with y'all? Do y'all ever talk to God? I told God if he'd let me be a good businessman and make a lot of money, I'd pay double tithe. And he said, preach. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be an example. I grew up in a pastor's home, a missionary's home. Most of you know I was born in Africa. In fact, my mom is here today, and a couple of my cousins are here, and I'm glad they're here today. But I grew up in ministry, and it was the last thing that I wanted in my life. Because I knew that there were responsibilities that went along with being a pastor. And so today I want to kind of go through this thing of the example of a pastor, the example of a leader within the body of Christ. And I want to, again, share with you kind of from a personal experience here. Sherry and I give because, first of all, we want to fulfill the commands that the Lord gives us, okay? The commands that the Lord gives. Here's what I know. How many of you know that the Word of God has some things that God says, this is what you ought to do, right? Ushers, I need you to help seat people today. How many of you know that the Word of God tells us, look, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, and you ought to do the other? Now, here's what I have found out about being obedient. God always rewards obedience, right? How many of you like rewards? Come on. Would you look around? If your neighbor does not have their hand up, they're weird. They're stressed. Something. Look, I like gifts. I like rewards. I like to be. And so one of the reasons the Scripture talks to us about being givers, about living there, is because God says, if you will obey my word, if you'll do what I say, then I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will bring benefits into your life. The Bible says it this way. The Scripture, how many of you know that the Word of God says some interesting things? Right? The Bible says the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. Some of you read that. I looked that word rich up in the Greek and all the. You know what the word rich means? Rich. Well, now the word rich there, and again, I'm not a scholar of languages, but I can read scholars' language. The word rich there means that God maketh rich. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and it goes on to say, and addeth no sorrow to it. So as I am obedient, as I do what God says that I ought to do, then God says I can reward you. The second thing is this, is that giving makes us feel good. Now if you don't feel good when you give, something's messed up. You ought to enjoy giving. The Word of God, Jesus said this. He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He said there's something that happens when you give. There's something that is released. I think there's kind of an endorphin rush that happens to you when you give to somebody and you bless somebody. Sherry and I, and again, remember, I'm going to be quite personal today. Sherry and I have had the privilege over the past, 15 or so years, God has enabled us on 5 different occasions to bless somebody with a car. To just give it to them. There wasn't any strings attached. It wasn't, hey, I'm going to do this. We knew situation, we knew things. And we would, sometimes people knew we gave it. Other times they didn't know we gave it. I want to tell you now, we didn't start there, but it is so much fun to give. See, here's the deal. Whenever you give, it differentiates you from takers. Now, I get to be politically incorrect at least once every sermon. So here we go. You ready? I am so sick and tired of a nation of takers that everybody believes somebody owes them something and owes them a living. And I want to tell you, the only thing I owe you according to Scripture is to love you. See, here's the deal. Somebody said this to me at first sermon. I said, I'm using it. All right, so here, it wasn't my original thought. He said, Pastor, do you realize what a taker gets is only what they take? But a giver gets the blessings of God in every area of his life. See, you and I, the whole aspect here is that I believe God's called us to be generous. He's called us to live this life of generosity. And what happens to us is when we learn to be givers, it all of a sudden breaks that selfish mentality that says somebody owes me something in this world. See, what it does is that it puts me in alignment with God, who is a giver. Do you know that from the book of Genesis on, that God is a giver? Do you realize that in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, and God created the heavens and the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be. God's a giver. And you read chapters 1, 2, 3, God's a giver. God's giving, God's giving, God's giving. All the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament, one of the favorite scriptures of everybody that's ever gone to a Sunday school class is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish but would have everlasting life. God is a giver. As I give, listen, if you're not a giver, I'm not talking about in the church right now, so hang on. I'll get there, right? I'm talking about in life. If you aren't a person who is generous with what you've been blessed with, that you are generous with what you've been given, then you are living a very insular life that is never, ever going to make a difference upon this earth. I want to tell you something. But my question to you today is, what do you want on your tombstone? And I don't mean pepperoni. He lived, he died. She was born this and she died. Wait a minute. Pastor Phil Goldsberry years ago preached a sermon on the dash that's between the beginning and the end. What is your life in that thing? See, here's what I found out about giving. Giving makes us grateful for what we have. When you are blessed, listen, we didn't start off, I mentioned car, we didn't start off giving car. We started off, maybe blessing somebody with $5, and that sometimes was huge, all right? Or giving them some food or whatever. But when you give away, it reminds you of how God's blessed you. And so in that moment, you go, wait a minute, I'm grateful for this, I'm thankful for that. God's blessed me with this and the other. See, the third reason that Sherry and I give, and I believe that we all give, is that we want to be examples to our family. All right? When I prepared this sermon, I did not know my mama would be here. Okay? But Sherry and I both grew up in homes where we were taught to give. We were taught, I can remember from a small child that if you got money for your birthday or whatever, There wasn't any big discussion about were you going to give to the house of God and tithe and offer. You just did. We were raised that way. It was put in. And I know some of you weren't, and I understand that. It's okay. But I'm telling you, because of that, it was placed down inside of us. And let me say this to you. Here's the deal. We have been blessed as a family because we learned that as children. Let me share something with you. How many of you know that the average student that gets out of college has a massive debt when they graduate, right? A lot of you have graduated and you've been out of college 10 years and you're still paying off a student loan. Some of you longer, and we're going to pray for you. All right, but you've been, you know, you graduated from college and you had a $50,000 school loan or $100,000, whatever it was, and you've been paying. Can I just share with you, man? I just want to talk to you. Both of my children went to college, and when they ended their college education, they didn't owe a dime. Now, that wasn't because Sherry and I were such great managers. All right, Sherry's a great manager, but it wasn't because I remember when Ashley went to school. How many of you know that you set aside some money, hopefully a little bit, as your kid's growing, and you put some money. And so Sherry and I think, well, we've got at least the first year covered, and we got, you know, maybe 2 years covered, whatever. Well, our daughter has really good taste. And what that means is she's really expensive. All right, she's like her daddy. Okay. Ashley chooses one of the most expensive colleges in America outside of Ivy League colleges to go to. She went to Oral Roberts University, which is a private college, so therefore it's skyrocketed. So she goes to college as a freshman, and we realize that all the money we have saved will only get her through the first semester. Now, how many of you know you start praying real hard, right? And so it's I don't know, January of her first year, and I'm in the office. I'm still pastoring in Adamsville at that time. I'm in the office, and the secretary calls me, and she says, your wife's on the phone. And so I pick up the phone, and Sherry's crying. You know what my first thought was? What do I do now? All right, I'm thinking, man, I start doing a mental inventory of all the things I'd messed up, you know, the day before, okay? And she said, Ashley just got a full ride scholarship to Oral Roberts University. Full, no, you didn't hear me. Come on, I've told you, you need to learn to celebrate when somebody else is blessed, right? Now, here's what's fun about that. She is already in her second semester. That she received was only available to incoming freshmen, not second semester freshmen. But God said, I can bless when my children are obedient. And that's the fun part of living this life that God has been. So we've been blessed as a family. You know what my next thing is, and I talk to my kids, I'm trying to pass this along, I want to get into my grandkids, is that we want these blessings to continue for generations. See, I've been blessed because of my mom and dad who sacrificed for the kingdom of God and who went as missionaries back in the 50s into the jungle and lived in ways that most of you can't even imagine. I've been blessed by it. The kind of church that I get to pastor is not because I've been so good and so wonderful. It's because I get to stand on the shoulder of those who have gone before me and who have blazed the trail before me. And so I challenge you, parents and grandparents, and those of you who are listening to me today, those of you who are watching today, listen to me. You play a vital role not only in the blessing that comes into your life, but you play a vital role in the blessing that comes generations that you may not even be alive to see what God has done through your life and because of your obedience to what God has said. Amen. And that's what's exciting to me. The fourth reason that we give is because we believe in the vision of this ministry. You know, how crazy would it be for me to try to get you on a train that I won't get on, right? And it's been so exciting over these past many years as Love and True Church has been going. For years I was in Adamsville, and then almost 15 years ago came to Jackson. And it's been exciting to watch as God has taken. In Adamsville, we went there, we started with 35 people, and God blessed it through 20 years of ministry, and it grew to the time that we came to Jackson. It was running between 500 and 600 in a town of 1,500. So we felt pretty good. And then in the past 14 and a half years, we started with one family in Jackson, and now there's over 900 families that call this church their home. And so it's been so exciting to watch as people have bought in to the vision that God has. But here's what I know. I can't do something, I can't preach something, I can't tell you something if I don't believe in it myself. If I do, it's going to drop about right there. Right? It's not going to penetrate your life. See, here's what I want to share with you. The Word of God instructs me to be faithful to my church. Now we're faithful to this house because it's our church home. All right, whatever campus you're on, you need to be faithful. I believe the Bible tells us to be faithful in attendance. Amen. We won't talk about Wednesday night. I love you. All right? I believe God wants us to be faithful in our talents, those things that He's given us, but I also believe that He wants us to be faithful in our finances that He's blessed us with. See, here's the reason that I believe in the vision of Love and Truth Ministries, and that is weekly we get to see lives being changed. Every week. Every week. I get text every week from every campus pastor, and they'll tell me how many people were there, they'll tell me how many people got saved, and how many people were baptized that Sunday. That is what it's about. That's what we just shared at this location a little bit earlier. We've got a team in the Philippines right now, and we've got churches in the Philippines. This past week, they had a youth camp there, and a lot of kids got saved, baptized over 40 people this past week. And you know what? We are part of that. See, listen to this. My giving, your giving, our giving makes us participants wherever or whenever a life is changed. You may never go to the Philippines. Some of you say, man, I'm praying I don't. Right? Most of you know Sherry would go every week, right? And I'm praying, God, don't make me go again. All right, and every time I turn around, it's like I'm getting to go again. But here's the deal. Every time you give and a life is changed anywhere in the world that's a result of Love and Truth Ministries, you're making a difference in the life of people. See, we're fulfilling the book of Acts, the first chapter and eighth verse, that tells us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. We do that. You may never leave West Tennessee or Illinois or Ohio, wherever you're at. You may never leave that state, but you can make a difference in people's lives. The fifth reason that we are givers is that we have a covenant with God and this ministry, all right? I believe that God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. If you study the Scripture, you will find that the Word of God from the book of Genesis all the way through the New Testament, that He operates from covenants. There's the covenant He made with Adam. There's a covenant He made with Noah. There's a covenant He made with Abraham, on and on. All these covenants that God makes. And God always says, if you will, guess what? Then I will. God always enters into this. Now, there's a couple of occasions with Abraham that God says, I'm going to put you to sleep, and I'm going to make this covenant, and I swear by myself. But normally, God makes a covenant between us, and we honor it, and He blesses us, okay? And so Love and Truth Church, several years ago, I began to say, wait a minute, if we believe that God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, then as leaders, those of us who move into leadership within this house, we need to be men and women of covenant. All right? And so we instituted some covenants within this church. And if you say, I don't know what it's about, well, then that means you don't have to worry about it. Okay? But one of those covenants is the leadership covenant. It's the highest covenant that we have in this church. And in that leadership covenant says several things, but one of them that it says is that we will tithe. Now, that word tithe just means 10%, that we will give 10% on a weekly basis to the house of God. And you know what? That's not something that Sherry and I have to stay up every weekend and go, okay, are we going to be able to do this? I want to share with you. From the day we got married almost 38 years ago, and again, I got married when I was three, From the moment we got married, we made a decision because of what we had been trained and taught that we were going to be tithers. We were going to be generous. We were going to do what God's Word says. And we have never, listen to me, we have never, ever, not one time, not paid our tithes. 38 years. We don't even think about it. We just do it because it's part of what we believe the covenant that God's made with mankind is. It's not legalism. It's not a, you got to do that. Whoa, wait a minute. Listen, God's generosity always is greater than my generosity. All I'm doing by being a tither is to say, Lord, I believe vows are important and I'm going to be obedient to you. See, this is meaningful to Sherry and I because we don't want to be covenant breakers. See, the Word of God's quite clear that when we make a vow, when we make a statement to God and we don't honor that, God says there's consequences of that action. So we just made a decision. Here's how we're going to live, and these are the things that we are going to do. Here's what I learned years ago. I remember when I first started pastoring that I came across a book. It was a brand new book then. Now it's, you know, how many ever years old, but it was a brand new book called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And it was a book about prayer written by a man named Larry Lee. And I loved the book. It was powerful. It was wonderful. It had truths that I had never seen. And I went, man, this is a great book. In fact, if you've never read it, I'd encourage you, if it's still in print, I'd encourage you to buy it now. And so I read, and I thought, man, I'm going to teach this to the church, because a brand new church, brand new pastor, I'm thinking, I'm going to teach this to the church because we need to pray more. And we were praying like this, but so I teach it. I taught it like 6 weeks on Wednesday night. And nobody prayed. In fact, I think the little bit of praying that we had done, we stopped. And so I was ticked. Any of you ever get ticked? Y'all are some of the most spiritual people I've ever been around. I was ticked. You ever tell God when you're ticked? Anybody that bold? So I was complaining when I was in prayer one day, you know, I was complaining. I said, Lord, nobody's praying. He said, neither are you. I went, oh, got a point there. You know, I was doing now, lay me down to sleep, and Lord bless his food, but outside of this, there wasn't much prayer going on. And over the next couple of years or so, God enabled me to come to the place that I had disciplined myself to prayer. I came back and taught that same book, and all of a sudden, our church there grabbed it. See, here's what I know. You can't take people where you're not willing to go. And so if I want you to be generous, then I've got to be generous. I can't talk to you about generosity if I don't live a life of generosity. The sixth thing is this, is that we position ourselves for God's blessing and protections. We believe with all of our heart that when we are obedient to God's word and we, on the first day of the week, we bring our tithe and offering to the storehouse, we believe that God's going to take care of us. And I've already shared. I remember Sherry and I got married, and again, I was young. I was 19 years old when I got married, so there you go. For those of you counting, I'm 57. Okay, I didn't want you to strain your brain. All right? And so when we got married, we were planning this big wedding. Sherry had this, you know, 83 bridesmaids, and I had two friends, so it was going to be a problem. And anyway, Sherry's dad came to us, and you got to remember, this has been a long time ago, and he said, I've got a budget here for the wedding, and it's $3,000. And he said, you can have it, and you can have the wedding at the church and all this, or I will give you the $3,000. We went into deep travail and fasting right there, prayer, deep prayer. And in about 10 seconds, we said, show me the money. We took the money. We took the money and we ran. All right, I'll go way back on you. And so the first year I'm in college, Sherry's out, but I'm still in college. And so I can remember the church we were a part of, that they were building and some new dorms and stuff for the college that I was going to. And the pastor got up and he was encouraging people to give. And I really sensed in my spirit that we ought to give. And at that point, I think we had roughly a couple of $1,000 left of that $3,000. And I looked at Sherry, I said, I feel like we ought to give this. I feel like we ought to give all of it. And it got quiet for a moment, like you guys just did. And we talked about it and prayed about it, and we said, yeah, this is what we'll do. And I'm going to tell you, from that moment on, there were numerous occasions where there would be some kind of a financial need. And I don't have time because of the length of what I'm doing today, but there would be a financial need in our life. Something would happen. I'll tell you one real quick. I remember she was from Illinois, and the salt had rusted out the entirety of the system underneath her car, the muffler system. We took it in. It was $240-something, if I remember right in that vicinity. And we didn't have a. I walked to my mailbox at the college that day, opened it up, and there was a check for the exact, no, you didn't hear me, the exact amount of what that bill was going to be. Time and time and time and time again, God did that. We were struggling college students. We didn't know, but we saw God show up, and God was just training us in those young years to say, don't make money, don't make the system of this world your source. Learn to trust me and learn to be generous. See, Malachi tells me that there's benefits of the covenant. When I do what God says, then God says, I am able to bless you. Tithing, when you and I are willing to tithe, and I'm not going to spend much time here, so you can relax. Tithing helps me make God my first priority. When you're obedient in that covenant of tithing, what that says to yourself is God's number one. And here's what I found. By tithing, according to Malachi, by tithing, I transfer everything I buy into God's kingdom. Remember, the system of this world is cursed, but when I'm obedient to God, God says, prove me in this, he says, that I won't pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. And then he goes on to say, I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. It's one thing for you to rebuke the devourer. It's something else when God does. Let me give you the last one. We'll wrap this up. The last and maybe the greatest reason that we give is that we want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I really do. I want to stand before God and hear well done. I want to use what God gives me and releases to Sherry and I in our life and our family. I want to use that to glorify him. Not just because I'm a preacher. You know, I've told you before, you know, I get paid to be good and you're good for nothing. Not because I get paid to do good, but because I want to exemplify Jesus Christ. See, I can't expect to hear well done if I've stolen from the Lord. And the scripture says if I don't honor him in that covenant, then I'm stealing from him. Here's what I know. God gave his best, Jesus Christ. How can I do less? How can I do less? See, the greatest picture of generosity is not some philanthropist upon this earth. It's not someone who's gone out and given millions and possibly billions of dollars away. The greatest picture of generosity upon this earth is God Almighty. In fact, generosity begins with God. In your life and in my life, the only time I believe that we're ever really going to live out generosity, and that doesn't mean that people can't be generous, but to really live out generosity, I believe that you have to come to a place of relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you have not understood how much God loves you, I don't want you to leave this place today before you know that he loved you enough to send his only begotten son to die for you. There's no greater love than this, the Bible says, but that a man would lay down his life for a friend. And yet God sent his son to die for us while we were still his enemies. Generosity begins with God. Generosity begins with understanding. When I understand that it's about us, it's about what I'm doing, how I'm living, how I'm going to live upon this earth, then I can begin to be a generous person. Thirdly, generosity begins with attitude. It's not about the amount. We talked a couple of weeks ago about where the scripture says, if you're faithful in little things, God will make you ruler over much. So it's about my attitude. Do I live life looking to be a blessing? Looking in that moment to make a difference in somebody's life? Or is it all about me and about mine? I saw a few years ago a story that said that there was a church out west that was down to 4 members, and they were not accepting any more members. Now, that got my attention, all right? I mean, I went, really? The story went on to say that the reason they were not accepting any more members was they had a cemetery out back. You guessed it. There were 4 plots still available. Now, if that doesn't warm the heart of God, I don't know what does. I mean, think about that. It's about us 4 and no more? No. Jesus said it's about the world. Jesus said, I came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. And lastly, generosity begins with 10, at 10%, at making that decision to follow him. See, here it is. God looked down upon this earth and he saw a need. He saw men and women who, in that moment of life, were lost and away from him. And the Word of God says that because of our brokenness, that God says, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to make a difference in your life and in your world. And I want to tell you today, before you leave the church that you're at today, or maybe you're watching on television today, I want to tell you, God loves you. God cares about your soul. And I've talked about generosity, and I've talked about living out generosity, but I'm going to tell you, it all begins with God. And I'm never, ever going to be the kind of person God wants me to be until I receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ into my life and into my heart. And so before you leave today, I challenge you, make a decision to give your heart and life to Jesus. It'll be the greatest day of your life, I promise. Amen.